Dear Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you every hour. We look at what's happening around us. We don't have all the answers, but you do. And we thank you because you have the answer. And we thank you because Jesus is the answer to all of our pain, to all of our hurt, to all of our dreams. So we invite you to speak to us this afternoon. We ask this in his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been studying the book of Acts. And we've learned how the church basically shared Jesus. And last time I spoke about Paul being a missionary in the city of Athens. A city kind of like maybe the country of Burma. They did not have God in their heart. They did not have this need of seeking God. They'd learned that idols basically were God. And whenever they had time, they had to do certain things and say certain things and maybe give certain things and take care of certain things. That was their religious experience. And Paul had tried to meet logic with logic, science with science, philosophy with philosophy, and had just not seen the results there. So he decided to change his method. Have you ever changed your method? Have you ever changed your plans? Because they weren't working the way you thought they were going to work. And he decided to go another route. That was to present Jesus and him crucified. That was the message he was going to share. And he was going to share it from Scripture. Even if the Greeks didn't have the Bible and understand it as he did, he was going to share Jesus and him crucified. We find the story beginning in Acts chapter 18. Where he leaves Athens and goes to Corinth. And there he finds a certain Jew by the name of Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and Paul came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working. For by trade, they were what? Tent makers. Paul was a tent maker. Have you ever found somebody who does the same thing you do? How do you feel? You feel connected. This person understands what I do. In fact, he probably knows some things that I don't know. And they kind of came from the same region because Pontus was there north of what was Asia, known as Asia then, and that was the country of Turkey. And Paul was also from that country. So, hey, they had this affinity, a Jew from the same region with the same trade. Wow, he felt like he was at home. And not a better feeling than to feel at home in a foreign country, in a foreign place. Paul did not like to be alone. In fact, he had called for Silas and Timothy to come soon because he wanted his fellow co-workers to be with him to do the job that God had called him to do. As I see Paul, as I see Silas, as I see Timothy, I see people who were teaching the Word of God. People who were teaching the Word of God. Are you able to teach the Word of God? Some of you might think, not me, Pastor Sam. I just don't have the gift of teaching. It's hard. I salute all my teachers. It's a big task, a big responsibility to teach. Hard work. goes into teaching. They research their subject. They study it well. They look for the latest information. And that's still not enough. Because then they go and they share it with their students, with their pupils. And hopefully these students are there because they want to learn about that subject. And if they're there because they want to learn, then they can actually give some feedback and share with the teacher some of the things they've learned and some of the things they've found out. And they can both grow as they learn together, as the teacher teaches and as the student learns. And any teacher here will tell you that, and any preacher also, that we are the ones who learn the most when we're sharing what we know. We are the ones who learn the most. So Paul was there in this new city of Corinth, a city that was known for its business, a city that was also known for its temples, a city that was basically an idolatrous city. And verse 4 tells us that he went Sabbath after Sabbath, every Sabbath, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, verse 5, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the promised one. Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. And yes, Jesus was coming again. He was sharing this with Scripture, showing them from Moses all through the prophets how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. But you would think people would be open to that message, especially Jews who had the same scripture that knew the prophecies. But Paul found resistance. And when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I shall go to the Gentiles. I'm done here." Have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever put in all of your efforts to share something with somebody and just gotten a negative response? Paul was feeling discouraged. He was feeling frustrated. He was thinking to himself, why don't they see? Why don't they understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? And if they would only believe, they would have that which they seek, which is life. But I thank God for people who don't give up. And not because they don't have the strength, because sometimes we don't have the strength. I believe Paul, Silas, and Timothy went ahead going through all these trials, these persecutions, because they truly loved God. That was their motivation. They loved God. And they had to share this love with the whole world. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They had to express it when they went to church. They had to share this when they went to the marketplace. They just had to share, hey, there is a God who loves you. There is a God who died for you. There is a God who can forgive you. There is a God who can restore you. There is a God who is almighty and all-powerful. And his word is mighty and powerful. Like a two-edged sword, piercing all the way down to the soul, to the heart, looking at our thoughts. That's what Paul wanted to share with his fellow Jews, and they were not listening. So verse 7 tells us he departed from there and went to the house of a certain man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to what? The synagogue. Good place to start again, Paul. Right next to the synagogue. And you can tell that this name is not very Jewish. Titus Justus. Very Latin name, very Roman name. but he had his house right next to the synagogue. And something interesting happened there. Verse 8 tells us, and Crispus, another non-Jewish name, the leader of the synagogue. And this leader was somebody who supported the synagogue even though he wasn't Jewish. He contributed money for the synagogue. Believed in the Lord with who? With all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Amen? Many came to the knowledge of Jesus because Crispus and his whole household believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message. And Paul received this message from God. The Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be what? Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Did God have his people in that city? He had his people. Did they know it? Not yet. But Paul was going to tell them. Paul was going to tell them. And as I read this, I can see Paul sharing some of our feelings. When you turn on the news, what do you see? Fear being basically sold to us. Watch out. Look, this is happening. Well, it didn't happen. That's okay. This is going to happen next. And then this. And we all seem to be in a society that is fed with fear constantly. And the worst part is that we're eating it. We're swallowing it. And we're starting to make these decisions based on what? Fear. Is that a good way to make decisions? No. Bad way to make decisions. But if we open the Bible, we find another way of making decisions. And this is motivated by love. By the Spirit of God. Making decisions based on love. Fear not, I am with you. Do you believe that, brothers and sisters? God is with us. He is. And Paul was kindly reminded by God, I am with you, Paul. And you decided to stay a year and 6 months. Doing what? Teaching the word of God. Teaching the word of God. This got him into more trouble. We know, right? Paul was always getting into trouble because of the word of God. He was sharing it and people were just not liking it. So again, he was basically taken to court. Verse 12 tells us, but while Gallio was a proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, this man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or a vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourselves. I am unwilling to be a judge of these matters. Amen. A secular court said no to something that had to do with what? Religion. That's your deal. Take care of it yourselves. Don't bring it to court. I am unwilling to be a judge of these matters. The results are told to us in verse 16 and 17. And he drove them away from the judgment seat, and they all took hold of who? Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue. He must have been the leader of this crowd and told them, hey, let's go against Paul, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. And Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. It seems like now, for the first time ever, Christians had won in court. For the first time, somebody had said, hey, I'm taking their side. Leave them alone. This is an issue that you guys should resolve in another place, but not here in court. But I find this interesting, and I share this, Sosthenes. If you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, this name comes once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And I read, Paul, called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of who? Of God. And who? Sosthenes who? Our brother. We don't know if these two men are related, but we do know that the Corinthians know who Sosthenes was. Could God have converted this man? You think so? He did this with Paul, didn't he? Saul, the persecutor of Christians, became Paul, the greatest evangelist to have ever lived. Do you see God's grace here, brothers and sisters? I see it. God can change even somebody who was working against him and change him into a brother in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel message. It's a message of love, a message that God gave his son, not just for a few, but for the whole world. And Sosthenes, and Saul, and Timothy, and Apollos, and many of these men shared this even at the risk of their own life. How do we share this with our friends and family? How do we share what Jesus has done for us? Has he done something for you? Amen. Amen. I have a few points here, three of them. In teaching the Word of God, we must present it in simple and clear ways. Acts of the Apostles 2:70 tells us, during the year and a half that Paul had spent in Corinth, he had purposely presented the gospel in its simplicity, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, had he come to the Corinthians, but with fear and trembling, and in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, had he declared the testimony of God, that their faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In simplicity and in clear ways. In teaching the Word of God, we must also do it in a tactful way. And I'm going to read Acts of the Apostles, pages 272 and 273. And he endeavored to lead the souls to the foot of the cross. Paul did not venture to rebuke directly those who were licentious or to show how heinous was their sin in the sight of the holy God. Rather, he set before them the true object of life and tried to impress upon their minds the lessons of the divine teacher, which, if received, would lift them from worldliness and sin to purity and righteousness. Therefore, the burden of his teaching among them was Christ and him crucified. He sought to show them that their most earnest study and their greatest joy must be the wonderful truth of salvation through repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last point I share with you, in teaching the Word of God, we must work with one another. We must work together. God has placed in the church, as his appointed helpers, men and women of varied talents, that through the combined wisdom of many, the mind of the Spirit may be met. The mind of God may be known. And I praise God for the people he has put in this church, the different talents, the gift of music, the gift of organization, the gift of making sure people hear what I'm saying in the sound booth. For Pastor Jeff and the gifts God has given him, and Andrea and the gift God has given you. Paul knew that he couldn't do it all by himself. He was constantly looking for someone to help him. Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Apollos, all these people worked together in sharing the good news. And they shared it because they had experienced it. Amen? They had seen the power that the gospel has to transform, to change, to give life. My father was here on Wednesday, and he shared with the group that met here for a prayer meeting that we have been given a special privilege to share the good news to the world, to all nations, tongues, and people. What a privilege to share the good news with the world. And I've seen my dad throughout the years go through a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Stuff. Just, you can say junk. Yes? Can we say it? Yes. Okay. And I've always asked myself, Dad, how did you do this? I would have given up. I would have just, you know, we're all in panic mode as a family, and he's calm. And he shared with me a story that I knew well, but he shared this in this context. Today he's in Linda Vista, in the southern part of Mexico, in Chiapas, at this university, Adventist University, and he's sharing there this experience I'm going to share with you today. It says, when I was 13 years old, I went to this academy called Linda Vista. I was 13 years old. And I got there in my first week, I was helping somebody on a tractor. And this tractor was moving dirt back and forth. And the earth was soft and everything, and it was getting late, sun was going down. And all of a sudden, right before dinner time, the part where he was sitting on broke. And he fell to the ground. And that tractor that was over a ton just went right over him. And he said that he felt this huge pressure just going up his waist, up. And he said he just lost consciousness. He was literally buried into the ground. And that guy who was there, he didn't see his friend, and where is my friend? And he put it in reverse again to move away, and moved, and he got out, and he saw this body that was not responding to anything. And just heard the words, I killed him, I killed him. And started to scream, and all the students and the teachers started to come out. What's going on? I killed him, I killed him. And when they all got there, they saw this body and it wasn't moving, so they just grabbed him, but they could tell the heart was beating still. My dad says that he couldn't see anything, he couldn't feel anything, but he could hear what was happening around. And he heard this. He said, I heard people saying, wow, he came to die. He was only a week here in our school, and that's why he came. He came to die, and my dad's hearing this, you know? Pretty eerie, he's dead, and it's like, what's going on? There was no hospital. They took him to a house there, and they had to wait for a doctor to come, and then they took him to the hospital, made x-rays and everything. No broken bones. my father experienced the power of God. The power to bring somebody who was supposedly dead back to life. Is that powerful?
Amen.
That's one story. We have hundreds of stories in this book that we can share. And I'm sure there's hundreds of stories here in the congregation of the power of God to change, to transform, to uplift. Does God love us?
Amen.
He loves us. And the best news, he's coming back. Amen? And our privilege today is to share this good news. Not be ashamed. Because the gospel is the power of God. Jesus is the power of God. His word is the power of God. His Holy Spirit is the power of God. And he's given it to us so that we can share with all, with Jews, with Greeks, with Americans, Hispanics, Asians, the love of God. Will you do that with me? Praise God.